Hey, I'm Noah, and I have new life in Christ. I'm recovering from an addiction to pornography, the worship of others' attention and affection and approval. And then this week, it would look like despair and just wondering if I've got anything to offer anybody. So, hey guys, let me pray for us before we get too far. Lord, you really, you're incredible, God. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for I'm thinking through the stories that you have redeemed in here, in this room, and my story, Lord, just how you have truly plucked me out of the muck and the mire, and you set my foot on a rock, giving me a firm place to stand. And so thank you for all that, Lord. I do pray that tonight is an encouragement to my friends here, and I pray that you'd speak through me. In Christ we pray, amen. So here's what you need to know about me, guys. So up here on the screen, you'll see my pride and joy. That's my bride. We're going to celebrate 8 years here next week. And then my son is going to be 4 this summer. My little girl, as you can see, she's one of the cutest things in the whole world. And she's going to be 2 next week. And so that's kind of what occupies most of my daylight hours in my brain, as you can imagine. So, but here's what you really need to know about me, okay? That's amazing. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. The truth is, apart from Jesus Christ, that family would not exist. So in Romans 4, Paul says that God calls, he gives life to the dead, and he calls into existence the things that do not exist. And man, when I met my wife, I was a serial quitter. I was insecure. I was craving the affirmation of others, of people, of men. I needed people to approve of me, and I was running from place to place, job to job, trying to find that. So, in 4 years after college, I lived in 4 different cities, states, or countries. I had 9 jobs. Right, the average. Average tenure at each of my jobs was about 5.5 months. And so I would kind of move into town and I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna change the world. I'm gonna go over here, I'm gonna sell furniture, yeah. And then, no, that's I'm not gonna change the world doing that. I'm gonna go wait tables, yeah, I'm gonna change the world. No, this doesn't work. And I just kept quitting and bailing and quitting and bailing and moving to the next town, looking for a new adventure or looking for just, man, something that would fill me up and that would be kind of like my platform, my launching pad to say to the world, look, Noah is really something to be amazed at, people. And so, funny story, when I first met my wife, she remains to this day a very like driven, you know, go-getter type girl. But at that time, she was very career-driven specifically. And so when I first met her, I just kind of waltzed in, sat down next to her at a table. And she's like, oh, you know, what do you do? And I'm like, well, you know, I don't have a job. I got fired from my last job, and I'm just out of work right now. And she's like, man, you're a loser. And she didn't say that, but she did think it. And she'll tell you that to this day. So truly, it is the Lord who redeems and who gives us a new name. So I'm talking tonight about authenticity, okay? And what I mean by that is just being truly known. The Cambridge Dictionary defines authenticity as being what is claimed to be, or genuine. Being what is claimed to be. And I think, you know, the interesting thing about that definition is normally we get it backwards, right? Like we try to deliver with our words what we want to be true about us. We claim to be something, even though on the inside we're something totally different. And so for years I struggled with an addiction to pornography. And if you asked me how I was doing, I'd be great, man. I'm so good. Yeah, God's good, right? But inside, fear, insecurity, hurt. So, but what we mean is inviting. So what I'm talking about is inviting people into that with us. And the freedom that comes through that. So I want to tell you a story. Last week, this is true. This is total dad life, right? So I was in the backyard. I saw my son had left something up on the trampoline. And in my world, I don't know if you guys are like me, but if I don't see something and do it right then, like it might be 2 or 3 weeks before it gets done, just because I forget and there's a million other things. And so I see this pillow on the trampoline, and I'm like, I better go get it, because if I don't, I don't want it to rain and the sprinklers and all that. And so I climb up on the trampoline, and I just kind of lean in there, put my knee right on the edge of the trampoline, get on there, get the pillow, I'm done. No big deal. Well, 20 minutes later, I'm kind of thinking, man, my knee, it was this knee, by the way, I'm just going, what is going on? This is kind of funky. No big deal. Probably just strained something, pulled something. I'll be fine. I go to bed. I wake up the next morning. Okay, this kind of hurts actually a little bit. Not bad, but again, I'm sure I'll be fine. Well, Tuesday comes around and the pain is now excruciating. I cannot bend my knee, so I have to lock it out the whole time. I'm walking like this, right? Like I'm walking in my car, there's people passing me, you know, in walkers. And I get in my car, and I'm not even kidding you guys. I'm like, I'm pulling my leg into the car, and I'm on the verge of tears, and I'm praying for my friend Jim, who has chronic pain, and for the Christians in North Korea. And I'm just like, if they can endure so much, but I can't even take this knee. You know, I'm seriously, this is where I was at. And so I get home, and I'm just like, I don't even want to live anymore. And I get home, and I... And my wife, she sees me, she's like, you need to call somebody. And I'm like, yeah, I'll be fine. And then, okay, you're right, I need to call somebody. So I call somebody last Wednesday. I go to see this orthopedic surgeon. He takes a look at me, he takes an x-ray. He takes me back into his office. He sits me down. He asks me two times what I did to it. Like literally, he's like, so tell me again what you did. I'm like, man, is this crazy? And this is the point when he's going to tell me, you're going to need like some kind of surgery. It's going to be awesome. You're going to have this cool scar. You'll get to tell everybody I was getting a pillow off the trampoline. So manly. And he goes, well, you know what? I think you have gout. And so I can judge by your reaction that you thought the same thing I did, right? Like, did you switch my chart with the 100-year-old man next door? Because I'm pretty sure this is the first case of gout that's been reported in America's history. Like, really? Like, is that right up there with scurvy or typhoid fever? Like, I'm so confused. And so it turns out, guys, gout is a real thing. It is alive and well, unfortunately, and it's awful, okay? But what happens is when your body breaks down food, you produce uric acid in your blood. Well, a high level of that for too long of a time can deposit little crystals in your joints. And oftentimes it's in your knee or your toe or your wrist. And it is like having little tiny pieces of glass inside your ligaments. It is excruciating, okay? Now, here's the moral of the story, though. If I had not humbled myself and raised my hand and said, I need help, I can't do this anymore, I would still be laying out on my floor, like laying flat, in pain. It's only when we raise our hand and we say, I need help, I can't do it, can somebody help? Here's what's really going on inside of me that we start to get healing. And so a little bit about my backstory. I told you I was a quitter, but I was when I was about 8 years old, two things happened. I accepted Christ, and I was exposed to pornography within about a month of each other. And so for the next 20-ish years of my life, I had two tracks going. One where I was like this kind of squeaky clean, look at me, I'm this good kid, I don't cuss, I don't drink, and all these good things, right? Everybody looked up to me, thought I was a great guy. Inside, I had spiritual gout. And I was locked up with excruciating fear, insecurity, what will they think of me? Medicating with pornography. And so when I was about 25, I came in here, before I came in here, I remember thinking, like, God, like, I had lots of angry conversations with God, so I'll be glad to fill you in on those another time. But one of them, I was just going, man, Lord, I've done everything you've ever asked me to do, and you haven't healed me. You haven't helped me. My life is still awful. I keep bouncing from town to town. You know, still struggling with porn. Like, where are you, God? You've never helped me. And then I show up to Regen, and I hear people sharing and telling people out loud in a circle with more than one person, right? Like, this is what's really going on. And the Holy Spirit was just so kind to just lovingly tap me on the shoulder and go, Noah, have you tried everything? Have you ever told anybody? Right? The reality is, he said, you've done it your way, Noah. Would you like to try to do it my way? And so the first thing I want you guys to hear is that that authenticity is freedom for yourself, right? It is freedom for you. So what I realized in that moment is that I wanted people to think I was healthy more than I actually wanted to be healthy, right? And so as long as you or me want people to think we're healthy more than we actually want to be healthy, we're gonna remain sick, and it's gonna keep getting worse. We're gonna get sicker and sicker. Galatians 5:1 says, Paul says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Now that's kind of like a, right, I get it. Seriously, like, kind of, you know, captain of the obvious type statement. But I think that's his point, because he's going, hey, Noah, Jesus died for you, and you're still struggling with quitting and bailing and running away, or you're still struggling with the insecurity that comes when you need a person to affirm you, or you're still struggling with the shame and the guilt of pornography. Like, Jesus died for you. It is for freedom that he died for you, not so that you could continue to be a slave. And so whatever your thing is, what brought you in here, whether that is shame, whether that is the shame of an abortion, whether that is body image and wanting to look like something, whether that is the compulsive need to look at pornography or to drink, whatever it is, man, Jesus Christ wants you to be set free from that, and it happens when we open up and when we invite others in. 1 John 1:7 says that if we walk in the light, he is as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so I want you to notice that. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, fellowship is kind of a word it's a bit of a churchese word, and so I have to define it for you. It just means relationship. Like, it just means hanging out. And it's kind of like the relationship, like when I'm looking at you in the eyeballs, and I'm really looking at you, right? And you're looking at me. You're not seeing what I want you to see, and you're not thinking about, oh, well, does he know about that? And man, what if he finds out? Oh, seriously, you know, it's just you and me. And hey, you wanna go grab a cup of coffee and talk? Man, you wanna come over to my house? Let's hang out on the back patio and just, man, encourage each other, laugh, tell stories, celebrate what God's doing, right? That's fellowship. And so some of the things that the Lord revealed to me as I was going through that I wanna share with you guys. Authenticity, these are kind of just three handles that you can hold on to as you're learning to fight your battles. Authenticity after sin, authenticity at temptation, and then authenticity even at the possibility of sin, right? And so I'll unpack those. Authenticity after sin. And so as a guy struggling with porn, I realized that if I looked at pornography on a Wednesday and I didn't confess it to somebody, it was almost guaranteed that I would look at it again on Thursday, and then maybe again on Friday, and probably again on Saturday, right? Until either Monday rolled around, or I just got so stinking sick of myself that I called somebody and said, man, will you pray for me? I am struggling. And so what I realized in that, what I think the Holy Spirit revealed to me as my leaders and my accountability partners would lean in, no doubt, is that, hey, if I call sooner, I'm probably not gonna act out 3, 4, 5 times. Wow, like that is, man, like, wow. And I remember my leader told me this one thing. He said, fight where you can fight, Noah. So if you're sitting at a computer screen asking for God's strength and power and victory, it's probably not gonna come, because at that point, you've already ceded the battle to Satan. He's already won. You need to back it up and realize, where did the temptation begin? And where did that temptation start, and when did it start to cross over into your decision to move forward with your sin? So that might be, you know, when I saw a magazine cover at the grocery store, and I heard a little lie in my head that said, God doesn't want you to have good things. You gotta go get them for yourself, Noah. And so that might have been 24 hours later that I actually got around to looking at porn, but it began right back there. And so if I call somebody and say, hey, will you pray for me right now? Saw a magazine cover, looked away immediately, but it's still lingering in my head. And this lie won't leave me alone. Will you pray for me? Man, there is freedom in that. And then finally, authenticity, even at the possibility of sin. Man, this just looks like saying, hey, I got an empty house this weekend and I don't have plans, right? I got internet access, I got movie channels, whatever that looks like. Will you pray for me? It's never good when I have a big, huge block of time with nothing planned. Will you pray for me? And letting people know about that before you get into it. So authenticity, guys, leads us to freedom for ourselves, but it also leads us to freedom for others. So I was leading a circle here, and I just kind of opened up briskly, just ran into it. Hey, I'm Noah, started with porn, here's what we're gonna do tonight. Okay, you, buddy, what brought you here? And this guy says anger, and then next guy says, you know, lust or whatever, and it kind of goes around 2, 3, 4 guys, and I'm going, like, these are some super Christians, or these are some really weak sauce confessions. And then I'm like, that's probably because I, you know, didn't really lead very well. And so I just interrupt the guy. Hey, forgive me, please. Let me tell you more about Noah. And so I share some examples. Here's what my struggle looked like. Started here, went this long, and I just said, you know, I remember being at home at my parents' house looking at porn on their computer, and my mom called me and pick up the phone. Hey, Mom. Hey, yeah, love you. Bye. And just that shame, right, that I could be so deceptive and just lie to my mom, that I could be so numb that I wouldn't even think twice about doing that. And then I remember going to the bars with my friends and drinking until 3 a.m. They'd kick us out of the bars, and I'd go home, and I'd look at porn until the sun came up. And just that feeling of shame when the light starts coming through your window and you realize, like, I have wasted my life here. And my whole day tomorrow is going to be wrecked because of this despicable habit that I've got. And so I said, that's me. That's Noah. That's why I came to Regen. Back to you, buddy. What brought you here? And I'm not joking you. This guy had just said anger. And now he says, I'm here because my girlfriend filed a restraining order against me after I waved a gun at her. And I just want that to sink in for a moment. Like, let me be crystal clear here. Like, his struggle with anger and my, you know, cussing under my breath at a guy that cuts me off in the car is no different before an eternally powerful and eternally holy God. It is no different. But at the same time, that guy would not have been set free from his struggle in that moment. He would have come in with the shame, and he would have left with the shame if he had not been given the permission to open up and to share it. And so when you and I share what's really going on in our hearts, we not only walk into freedom for ourselves, but we open the door and we invite others. Come on, man. Come on. It's safe here. It's okay. It's not going to be fun in the moment, but it is going to be awesome. I can promise you that. So authenticity leads us to freedom for others. And finally, guys, authenticity is freedom from falsehood. And so the enemy is crafty, to say the least, right? God says that, speaking of him, he says when he lies, he speaks his native language, right? Just like you and I speak English, he speaks lies. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. And so what we do know about the enemy is he wants to destroy you. And the way that he's going to do that is he's going to lie to you. Okay? And I couldn't list all of his lies because I don't know them all personally. But even then, I wouldn't have time. But I will tell you a few very common ones. He lies to you about God's character. He says, does he really love you? Remember what he said to Eve? Did God really say that you should do that? Right? So he'll say, yeah, God doesn't really love you. if he really loved you, he would let you have that. He would have set you free from that. You know, probably the thing that you're struggling with is his punishment on you because you're such an awful person. He doesn't love you, right? He lies about God's character, but he lies to you about your character too. He lies, he says that your identity is set in stone. It can never be changed. He says that what you're struggling with right now will never change. It will never get better. It will always look like this. Your marriage will always look like this. Your addiction will always look like this. Your chemical dependency, your struggle with depression, it will always look like this. It will always be awful and terrible until you die. And that's just how it is. He says that, he lies to us about how good we are, right? He says, oh, you got this. I don't need help, right? I can handle this. I know I still look at porn every now and then, but I've got this under control, right? I don't need to ask for help. I don't need to invite others in. And he says, he lies to us with shame. He says that you are defined by what you do, that you're ugly, that you're worthless. Please don't look at me. Don't look at me. I am what I do, right? I'm a porn addict. I'm a quitter. I'm a failure. I'm damaged goods. No one would love me if they really knew what I've done or what kind of a person I am. Those are all lies that the enemy spews out. But God says so much more. He promises us in James 5 that when we confess our sins and pray for each other, that we will be healed. And so, so my ask of you guys tonight is that you would do that, right? You're going to go somewhere from here, right? You're either going to go to your step study or your groundwork circles, or maybe if this is your first time, then you're going to come hang out in here and you'll go off to a kind of a smaller circle with guys and with gals. I'm asking you, open up and tell people what's really going on. And you will be not just heard and kind of like, you know, deer in headlights, like, oh, wow, did you just say that? But you will be prayed for. And the power of God says that you will be healed. And so think about, again, back to my knee. So how crazy would it have been if I was in this excruciating pain and I go to the doctor and he says, well, what brought you in? And I just say, yeah, you know, I'm actually great, doc. I'm so good, you know? I guess I came because I know I just need to go to the doctor more frequently, and kind of told my parents I would. So my mom's been on me about my health, and so I don't think I need anything. No, I'm good, right? Like, how ridiculous would that be? As I'm literally in pain here and dying, it feels like. It did feel like that. But seriously, how crazy would that be? And so you guys have the opportunity then, when you're in your groups, to share and to say, hey guys, this is what I need. This is what's really going on. This is my behavior, right? Like the ugliness of my activities. This is how much I drank last week, right? You need to know that so you can pray for me. But this is also the lie that I'm believing. This is my own insecurity and my doubt about, does God really care about me? And is his word just a bunch of stories from 2,000 years ago that can't really help me, right? Share that stuff. And I promise you, God will meet you right there. He will take what you give him, and he will always deliver on his promise. So don't mark my words, but mark his words. That if you do this, guys, you will never be the same. So thanks for letting me share.